containing pores too tiny for bacteria to slip through. Bacteria are enormous compared with viruses. Consider that HIV, a typical-sized virus, is a mere golf ball compared with the soccer ball that is Streptococcus pyogenes, the diminutive bacterium that causes strep throat today, but regularly killed kids when Hayflick was a child. The filtered fluid from the diseased tobacco leaves was able to infect other healthy tobacco plants. Soon, a Dutch botanist, Martinus Beierink, who had done similar experiments, demonstrated that whatever was causing the tobacco plant disease could reproduce itself but needed living cells in which to do so. He became convinced that the disease-causing entity was a liquid, and he christened it with a Latin name, virus, which means slimy fluid. The same year, 1898, a pair of German scientists, Friedrich Loeffler and Paul Frosch, found that they were able to pass along a devastating animal affliction, foot and mouth disease, by taking fluid from the sores of infected calves, filtering it, and using the filtrate to infect other animals. The first proof of animal infection by these mysterious new entities, which scientists began calling filterable agents. It would be some time before the term virus came into common use. The German duo also surmised, correctly, that the infectious agent wasn't a liquid, but a particle so small that the filter did not capture it. The pair also developed what was probably the first killed virus vaccine, taking fluid from the sores of infected animals, heating it to destroy its infectivity, and injecting it into non-immune cows and sheep, the overwhelming majority of which were then protected from the disease. In the next half century, some dozen viruses that cause human diseases were identified, including the viruses that cause yellow fever, rabies, polio, and influenza. Dozens of animal and plant viruses were also found. In 1927, Thomas Rivers, an eminent American microbiologist, defined viruses as obligate parasites, meaning that they could reproduce only by invading living cells. In 1928, the year of Hayflick's birth, Rivers published Filterable Viruses, a collection of essays of which he was editor, describing the roughly 65 viruses that had been identified to that date. But identifying viruses was hardly tantamount to understanding them, never mind fighting them. And the fact was, for the first half of the 20th century, scientists investigating human-infecting viruses were hobbled by the difficulty of getting at them. That was because, unlike bacteria, which live happily and independently in lab dishes as long as they're nourished with nutritious substances like agar, viruses need living cells in order to survive. At its most basic, a virus consists of a circular or linear thread of genetic material. DNA, or its chemical cousin RNA, and a protective protein coat. It reproduces itself by invading a cell and forcing the host cell's machinery to make tens, hundreds, or thousands of copies of the virus in one huge burst, sometimes in the space of minutes. These new viruses, each virus is called a virus particle, then bud or burst out of the cell and proceed to invade other cells. Some viruses can also move directly from cell to cell. Despite their formidable talent for hijacking, viruses are helpless on their own. They are not independent organisms that propel themselves around, eat, digest, excrete waste, or have sex. Their sole business is to invade living cells so they can reproduce. So while they can survive on non-living objects and surfaces for hours, days, weeks, and sometimes months, they are merely inert chemicals when they are sitting in, say, a test tube. It is only